For those that don't know, Chris is a Trinity Ordinand training to be a vicar, and is also part of our staff team, looking and overseeing with Esther our pastoral team, and just generally amazing. And I'm so excited to hear what he has to say, as he's been thinking about this theme of living by the Spirit. So let's pray for Chris, and let's pray for ourselves as we hear what God has to say to us, and we allow him to speak into our hearts and minds. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life, that it changes and transforms us to be the people you made us to be. So Father, we pray for Chris as he speaks now, as he shares what you've put upon his heart. For Father, would he speak with clarity, and would you speak into our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. It's great to be here with you. Isn't it amazing when we all come together and worship Jesus? It's just beautiful. I was just watching over from the side, and just watching the Holy Spirit moving in our midst and touching lives here. And that's what we're going to talk about this evening, relationship with the Holy Spirit. So we're in the middle of our Life in the Spirit series, where we look at the truth and the reality of who the Holy Spirit is and what it means to live our lives filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's been some really important foundational teaching so far in this series. And if you have missed any of those talks, I'd really encourage you to go and pick them up off the website and listen to them. So we started by looking at the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Chris talked to us about God, who is our good Father. Our good Father who loves to give good gifts. And most importantly, he loves to give the greatest gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And then we looked at God the Son. Paul came and talked to us about Jesus, who came to make known who the Father is. And came so that all who believe in him can be called children of God. Isn't that amazing? And then last week, Paul talked to us about the Holy Spirit, about God, the Holy Spirit, who came to bring order out of chaos, who's always working creatively. And that's what we see in our midst. Key thing to just hold on to as we go through this talk: there is always so much more going on in the work of the Spirit than we are aware of. And we'll see that in the reading we just heard. Thank you, Sarah. That there, any individual in that reading only knows a small bit of the picture, and yet the Holy Spirit has this massive work going on. And people just engage in that little bit that the Holy Spirit prompts them to. Now, there's two points that Paul raised last week, and I want to re-emphasize those because they're completely foundational to everything I'm talking about this evening. So first is this. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, all who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and who believe that God raised him from the dead will be saved. Okay, that's our baseline. That's the gospel. That's the salvation we're called to. And if you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus, you are so welcome. And that invitation is for you. I just encourage you to think deeply about who Jesus is. And if you're here this evening and you know Jesus and you love Jesus, that invitation is for you, and you have the certainty, the assurance that you are saved. That's good news. So that's our one foundation building block. The second one comes from John chapter 16, verse 7, when Jesus has gathered his disciples together. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years now. Okay, these are his disciples. They've shared life together. They've shared meals together, conversation. They've been and watched Jesus performing miracles that have taken people from brokenness into wholeness. They've been sent out by Jesus to perform miracles that have taken people from brokenness to wholeness. And here they are with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, he says, look, I've got to go and be with my Father in heaven. And that's where we pick it up in verse 7, chapter 16 of John. Jesus says to them, very truly I tell you. Now, Jesus always speaks truth. So when Jesus says very truly, you know that it's one of those moments you've got to pay huge attention here. Jesus is saying, look, really listen to this. He says, it's good for you that I'm going to be with my Father. Just imagine those disciples. Jesus, how can this be good? You know, we've had 3 years of amazing time with you. I wouldn't change it for the world. It's been hard but incredible. And you're saying it's good that you're going to be with your Father in heaven? That just doesn't compute. But Jesus goes on. He says, look, unless I go to be with the Father, I won't send the Holy Spirit to you. But if I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. So what Jesus is saying, this is hugely important. He's saying, look, the reality you've walked in, all the disciples, 3 years walking with me, there's an even better reality coming when you receive the Holy Spirit. So that reality is the same reality that we are in now. So if you love Jesus and you follow him with your life, you're in a reality that was even better than when the disciples walked with Jesus. I mean, just pause for a moment and think about that. Isn't that incredible? So when I came to faith, when I had that moment and said, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, I recognize who you are, you're the Son of God. I'm going to devote my life to you. I was in a church stream that was really focused on spiritual gifts. And that's awesome. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us to eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so there was all this stuff going on around me. People's lives were being transformed. The Holy Spirit was touching them. And you know, at that point, no one took me sort of under their wing and said, hey, Chris, you know, the Holy Spirit is a person who calls you into relationship. And so I was there in the midst of all this stuff happening, saying, I'm supposed to pray for gifts from the Holy Spirit. How do I do this? Can you give me some gifts, Holy Spirit? Not realizing it was a relationship and that the gifts flow out of that relationship. Not in any sense that you've got to earn your relationship and then you get the gifts. No, it's nothing like that. It's just that they're intrinsically linked. You see, I was coming to the Holy Spirit on my terms of saying, well, I'm supposed to have gifts, so I want the gifts. Would you give me the gifts? But conversely, if you go just to the Holy Spirit and say, hey, I really like this relationship, but oh, I'm not sure about letting you move in power through me and the gifts. No, I don't want that. That's also coming to the Holy Spirit on our terms. But what the Holy Spirit calls us to is a relationship on the Holy Spirit's terms, where the gifts are just a natural result of the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and we catch a hold of what the Holy Spirit's doing, respond with obedience, and the Holy Spirit gives us gifts to do his work. It's all connected with our response to the Holy Spirit. Now, later in this series, we'll be talking about gifts of the Holy Spirit. This evening, we're talking about relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that relationship is an invitation. It's an invitation for today. Okay, it doesn't matter where you've been in terms of this invitation. This invitation is as real and as loud and as complete and as true today, right now, for your life, regardless of whether it's 10 years since you last spoke to the Holy Spirit or you spoke to him this morning. It's the same invitation, and it's there with the same weight behind it. So this is for this moment, and it's for tomorrow, and the day after that, and on. Every day for the rest of your life is this invitation from the Holy Spirit. And it goes something like this. You see, when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. That's God, the Holy Spirit, in us. I mean, you will spend our lives trying to get our heads around what it means for God to dwell in us, but God is dwelling in us. But when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, the Holy Spirit says to us something like this. Hey, I'd really like to spend time with you. Let me know when you're free. Just imagine receiving that on your phone, text from the Holy Spirit. That'd be quite cool, wouldn't it? Hey, I'd really like to spend time with you. Let me know when you're free. And our response to that invitation is what affects the course of our life. So right now, at this moment, you have that invitation for you. And we can choose whether to follow that invitation or to be passive. It's not that we work up that relationship, but there's two things we can do that change how we respond to that invitation. One is be available, and the second is be attentive. And that's what we're going to focus on. Just those two things this evening. There's more coming in the rest of the series. But this evening, just looking at how we are available and how we are attentive. Now, let's go to our account of Cornelius and Peter. There's so much going on here, isn't there? This is a huge story, and we've stopped halfway. So we've not even got on to the bit where actually what the Holy Spirit is doing here is saying to people, look, this salvation through Christ is not just for the Jewish people. Actually, it's available for all people. So there was this massive agenda going on. The Holy Spirit's just doing this awesome creative work. And Cornelius gave us a little glimpse about it. But I want to focus in on Peter. So Peter, it's about noon. Where do we find Peter? He is going up onto his roof to pray. Okay, meanwhile, the Holy Spirit has arranged that there's these three guys from coming from Cornelius' place to Joppa to come and see Peter. But Peter doesn't know this. He's just off up on his nice flat roof, and he's going to go and pray. Now, he was a Jew, so he would have adopted the Jewish practice of prayer, morning, noon, and evening. That was his pattern, his daily rhythm of prayer. And here we find him at noon. I don't know whether he always went up to his roof at noon to pray. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But the key thing here is, when we talk about being available, it's about making an intentional, physical move to respond to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. But that doesn't mean we can just say, oh, well, it's fine, because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We're always together. The Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to be with me. And you know the difference. You could sit next to someone and not talk to them and never know anything about them. Or actually, you could turn to them, face them, and say, hey, I want to be present with you now. I want to be fully present. And so that's what we find Peter doing. Now, hear me right. This isn't saying that, hey, for all of us to be present with the Holy Spirit, we've all got to pray three times a day, and we've got to pray on our roofs of our houses. That's clearly not going to work in the UK. I'm going to be more worried about falling off than praying. But the key thing is, it is a movement towards the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got friends who that movement towards looks like going for a run. Okay? They get there, start their run, a few minutes, and they're just like, Holy Spirit, I'm here, I'm yours. For myself, it looks like going for a walk. I walk everywhere that I can. And it's just the place where I find that I'm saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm responding to your invitation, I'm available. I know others, they've got a particular place that they go. And there's just something they just said, they've intentionally said, when I'm here, I'm yours. The cares of the day, my attention is away from all of that. I'm yours, I'm available. And for others, it's a specific time of the day. Just say, this is your time. Whatever it is, we're all different. It's intentional. And the beauty is, when we make that intentional space for the Holy Spirit, then the impromptu bumping into the Holy Spirit when he gets our attention becomes precious, even more precious than if we hadn't made that intentional time. So that's being available. The second is being attentive to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's one thing to put yourself in the same room as someone else. Say, okay, we're going to dedicate this time to being present with each other. But if you never talk to each other, if you never listen to each other, if you never share that conversation and that attention to each other, how are you going to get to know? And just because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we've made ourselves available and said, this is a time that I am here with you, Holy Spirit. We've actually got to be attentive and listen. And that's what we get a glimpse into with Peter. So he's up on his roof praying, and he gets this vision. And for Peter, it's a vision that just doesn't make sense. And then there's this voice saying, kill and eat. And you can hear his response and his wrestle with it. What's going on here? He kind of recognizes this is the voice of the Holy Spirit showing him something. So it must be important. But he's saying, surely not, Lord. This can't be right. This isn't from you, is it? I've never eaten anything unclean or impure in my life. What does the Holy Spirit do? Responds, said, don't call anything unclean or impure that God's made clean. It's a little bit of a telling off for Peter. But it's a gentle one, because the Holy Spirit's always gentle. It's just saying, come on, Peter, dig deeper. I'm up to something here. You haven't caught hold of what I'm doing. Peter's still wrestling with this. It says in the text, there's three times there's this exchange between him and the Holy Spirit. We're not told the words of the other time that isn't mentioned there, but clearly Peter is just saying, I'm struggling to put this all together. What are you up to, Holy Spirit? And it's this beautiful exchange between them. And then when we leave that moment, Peter is left on the roof pondering these things deeply. still wrestling with it. He doesn't know what the Holy Spirit's up to. But hold on to the reality that the Holy Spirit is doing so much more than Peter is aware of at this point. Now, Peter's still on the roof. There's this, it's just hilarious, really. I mean, he's got these three guys coming from Joppa. They're at his house. I guess they're banging the door or something. And the Holy Spirit has to go and say, hey, Peter, there's three guys at your door. But then uses that moment to say, it's all right, because I've sent them, and you need to go with them. Don't hesitate to go with them. So what does Peter do? He goes down and greets them. He invites them into his house. I don't know if that was him hesitating. But the next day, that's where we leave the account. He goes off with them, not knowing what he's going to. Not knowing what the Holy Spirit's going to do through him. But knowing that the only response to the Holy Spirit's work in him is obedience. And so he goes. Now we know the end of the story and what God does and how God saves Cornelius' household. But not only that, how God shows that by saving them, filling them with the Spirit, that there is the gospel of Jesus Christ available to everyone. So it's huge. Now how do we show that attentiveness to the Holy Spirit? Because I don't know about you, but not every day is filled with sitting in some quiet place and having amazing visions that are going to change the course of the way the gospel is viewed across the whole of humanity. But the Holy Spirit is doing no less an important work today. You see, when we start to make ourselves available and attentive to the Holy Spirit, we just don't know what's going to happen. We start saying, hey, I'm ready to be involved, ready to take your invitation, Holy Spirit, to be involved in your creative work. And that creative work might be in your own life. It might be in someone else's life. So you might be reading scripture, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, I just want to show you through those words you're reading how much the Father loves you. This is right for you. Just read those words again. And you're there, you might be reading scripture, and suddenly some bit jumps out at you, and you think, what's going on there? That's the Holy Spirit just emphasizing something for you. You might be praying, and this burning desire comes upon you to pray for a particular country or a particular person. Respond to it. That's the Holy Spirit just prompting you. And just think about that for a moment. So earlier this week, I received a WhatsApp message, just someone chatting about what's going on in India with the elections there and the Hindu leaders that are going to get into power again. And they were worried, and I just sensed the Holy Spirit just saying, pray for that country. So I prayed, one person. But you know what? I don't know. The Holy Spirit might have been enabling 100,000 people at that point to pray for that country. I just don't know. But it just might have been. So when you get that moment, you just think, are you saying something, Holy Spirit? Or maybe a picture. I know some of you, the Holy Spirit gives pictures to. That picture might feel off the wall and wacky. I mean, just earlier this week, Esther and I were praying with some people, and one of them had a picture of a watermelon. And after a bit of wrestling, it became so obvious what God was trying to say through it. Deep words through what seemed like just a crazy picture. So when we say be attentive, it's about saying, the posture of my heart is towards you, Holy Spirit. And the beauty is, the more we do that, the more we start to recognize the Holy Spirit's voice. And so we could be out in town. Holy Spirit just taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, go and buy that person a coffee. Tell them they're loved. You could be at the bus stop. Holy Spirit says, just go and ask if that person wants some prayer. You could be anywhere. Holy Spirit says to you, you know what? I really want to work on, you know, that brokenness in your life you thought would never be fixed. It's time to journey through that. I just don't know. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit's work is always good. It always brings order out of chaos. And so when the Holy Spirit's at work in your life or someone else's life, it is going to be beautiful. It might be hard, but the result is always beautiful. And always, it is a transformation to become more and more like Jesus. I think that's probably all we're going to say this evening, because I think I want to move into a ministry time. I want to just emphasize a couple of points. Firstly, that it is an invitation. So the Holy Spirit does not force himself on our lives. He doesn't force us to do things. The Holy Spirit invites. hey, would you pray for that person? And say, go and pray for that person. It's, hey, would you pray for that person? I'd love to walk with you through this time of healing. You know, it's up to us to respond and say yes. We don't have to work anything out. We just be available. Respond to the invitation. And the other thing I want to emphasize is as we respond to that invitation, that's where we find the reality of abundant life, of life to the full. So when Jesus, remember, right at the start was saying that the reality we live in with the Holy Spirit is better. That's because as we spend time with the Holy Spirit, as we respond to the Holy Spirit asking us, saying, would you do this? Would you come and work with me on this? We start to find we are invited into a life that is abundant, exciting, hard, scary, but a life that we know is building God's kingdom, and we get to be involved in that work. So that's all I want to share this evening. But as I've been preparing this message, there's been two senses on me in terms of how we might respond to that. I just wonder if we can have the band up and we'll just think about how we might do that. So the first is this, is that point we mentioned at the start, no matter where you are in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, this is a word for now. This invitation is now. It says, what choice are you going to make moving forward? And equally, no matter where you are in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, there is always more. And so what I'd love us to pray for each other about is the Holy Spirit inviting us to say, I want to say yes, Holy Spirit, to a greater intimacy with you. Wherever you're at, know that there is a greater intimacy available to you for the rest of today, tomorrow, and so on, for the rest of your life. You're not going to exhaust the intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So that's the first thing we're going to pray for. If you feel that you would like a greater intimacy in your walk with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be people up here who can pray with you. You could sit in your seat and pray about it. There's something about movement. And if you feel that actually movement is a thing that is right to mark this moment, then I'd encourage you to come forward and receive prayer. Or even just to come forward and stand in this space. Because there's something about that saying to the Holy Spirit, yeah, I'm here. That's what I want to see in my life. So an increase in intimacy with the Holy Spirit is the first thing to pray for. And the second is quite specific. It was a sense that for some of you, there's this hunger in you to catch a hold of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your community. It's a joy that this evening you will go out this door to so many different areas of this city, different areas of life, and you go out taking the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you to those places. So the second thing I want to pray for is for a greater awareness of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your community. So that's two things. Greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, greater awareness of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your community. Now, I wonder if we got some small community leaders who could come up and pray. Anyone else who's normally on the prayer team here? Just looking around, seeing how many people we got who can come up and pray. Should we maybe start some worship just quietly and take some time. Don't rush. If you want to pray right where you are, I'll pray for all of us in just a moment. But if you feel like you want to respond by moving, I just encourage you to come up. If you want some prayer, come up and see someone. And we'll just stand alongside you. Bless what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work that you are doing, the creative work you are doing in everyone's life represented here. Thank you that you are transforming each of us to be more and more like Jesus. And I thank you for the work that you are doing through each of us in our communities. Thank you for that invitation to be involved in your work. I pray that you will speak deeply to people, to us as a people, Father, right now about the intimacy that we can have with you, about what you are doing in our lives, that we would be aware of your presence now. Holy Spirit, come speak deeply about the Father to us.